Mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the first chapter of Mark, which has already been read. I never really had any great desire to ever go to Hawaii. What I saw in Hawaii was photos of Waikiki Beach. Big hotels looked crowded, and that worked well. By not wanting to go to Hawaii for many years, we didn't have any money anyway, like a lot of you. Got out of school, and well, after we bought food and other necessities, there was nothing left. Literally. I mean that in the way my generation means that, literally. First call, when I was cousin, we opened up a Christmas club at the bank, so we'd have money for Christmas gifts, vacations, 2 weeks. In the summer, we visited family in the Quad Cities. In the winter, at Christmas, after Christmas, we came home and visited relatives in the Quad Cities, staying with them. Like a lot of you, things got better. It was a big deal when we finally got the Crown Vic paid off and had, what's this? Extra money at the end of the month? I think that was about 1992. Went on a winter trip up to Spring Green, Wisconsin, got a great deal. Ate nice, the daughter proclaimed, we're rich. Not quite, but we're not poor anymore. And then we started paying that Lutheran tuition. And if you've ever paid tuition, you know that when that's done, you feel kind of rich. Something about the Charlotte vacancy. It was a particularly nasty winter. Life in the trailer up in Byron was life in the trailer. Well, let's maybe go to Hawaii. Someplace warm. Big island. Not very crowded there. Fly into Honolulu, then over to Hilo, and that went well. Broke up the winter nicely. And when the youngest daughter moved to Honolulu, now we have family obligations there. This year, because of, you know, the thing, we took Hawaii off the table. Now it's back on the table. We'll see. Maybe backup plan will go to Florida. Did that once, but it was kind of cold in the Keys. Highs only in the 80s, in the 60s or even 50s. And all the Disney stuff's down there, you know. And did you know that there's a Legoland in Florida? The first one, I didn't know this, was in Denmark. It's been there since 1968, and now they're all over the place, including Winter Haven, Florida. I was disappointed. The actual buildings, like they'll tell you would stay in, are not made of Legos. But a lot of cool stuff you can make with Legos is there. And when you get there, you start at the beginning. No attractions. The park's main entrance, gift shops, restaurants. And the Legoland Hotel, it's not made of Legos, is located just outside the park entrance. Yeah, let's start at the very beginning at Legoland. That's a very good place to start. It's the place where God started with all this. He started at the beginning. It's not something we think about probably a lot. But there was a time when all this, none of this, existed. There was a time when there was no earth, no people, no life, no airplanes or cars, nothing like that. There was a time when you did not exist. None of it existed. And then the Latin term is ex nihilo, out of nothing. God started. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if you look at the creation, 6 days of creation, it's a very orderly creation. If you look at things like the periodic table, it's a very orderly creation. Nothing chaotic about it. You've heard it said that there was an explosion, and then all this happened randomly. Is there anything more random and less orderly than the result of an explosion? So, God created the earth which we are on, and the rest of it, and it goes on for quite a ways out there into the universe. But the earth and the rest were not in the form in which we currently find them. They were, it says specifically, without form and void. Those Hebrew words means that there was a lot of chaos out there. That's where you find the chaos before God started his work. Chaos and confusion, and then God began. There's order. God has these building blocks he uses. God uses building blocks. He created atoms. You can't do that. I can't do that. We are unable to create atoms. He created a lot of atoms. And then he began to use those atoms to build things. All those things that are made out of Legos at Legoland. And maybe you've made things out of Legos yourself. Started out with a random pile of individual Lego blocks. Ended up somehow in the drawer of a dresser, a whole drawer with random Legos. I just kind of tossed it, nothing to do with that stuff. People had a plan down there at Legoland. They knew what they wanted to make. They built buildings, they built animals, they built people, not real, out of Legos and the like. And like that, God took this sort of random pile of atoms, confusion, chaos. He had a plan. He knew what he wanted to make. Real people, that's what God's shooting for here. But first we need an environment, right? That's what we call it, an environment. First off, it's dark. Very dark. God needs some light here. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. You look through the 6 days, that's what God does. God says it. And it happens. You know how to create something that's never been done before? I just told my students, when you write a paper or a story, you're creating something new. Something that has never been done before. There are about 1 million words in the American language, depending on how you count those words, more than any other language by far. And people use some of those words all the time to create new sentences, new paragraphs, newspapers, or speeches, and no two sermons any preacher preaches are the same. In any given day, you use those 1 million words, you probably don't know all of them, to create a lot of sentences. And besides that, you create new ways to do things, or to do them better. You create new solutions to problems. We do that all the time. We are creative. And sometimes we don't like what we created. That's not very good. Maybe get rid of it. For the first time, when he made it, God saw light, and God reckoned it to be. God saw that the light was good. It's good. He says that every time he creates something. That's good. So he gets to man, then he says that was very good. And God separated light from the darkness, night and day, and we need them both. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. And that's at the end of each of the days of creation, too. The idea that there was an explosion and somehow all this happened, it's a new idea. It's not a very good idea. Out of explosions always come chaos. That's kind of the idea, like with bombs. Not an intricate and finely tuned and somewhat complex system like our universe. And the farther we get out into that universe, the more we understand just how orderly, complex, and non-random it is. The problem with people who think they're too smart to believe in God, the farther they get away from that, believing in God, understanding creation, the closer they get to, hey, I think they actually think there was an explosion. They actually believe that. There was an explosion, and all of this happened. And I know what you're thinking. And no, I don't know if they know about the laws of thermodynamics or not. I assume they do, but they don't act like it. They also seem to think that the world is billions and billions of years old. There's no evidence for this all being more than 10, 20, maybe 40,000 years is pushing it. We have evidence for that. Billions and billions of years? Where does that come from? Well, the tail's wagging the dog. That's where that's coming from. Starting in 1956, Charles Darwin, he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. His wife was a devout Christian. She wanted to believe. On some level, he wanted to believe, but he found that he was unable. He had been hesitant to publish Origin of Species, but he did. And that's when some science, in some ways, began to kind of go off the rails. He had observed, we call it natural selection. And you can observe natural selection on the Nat Geo Wild Channel. Lots of gazelles there in that herd. Which gazelle are the cheetah going to eat? The young and strong one that's in the pack, or the sickly straggler? That's natural selection. People who don't believe in God took that and ran with it, and pretty soon they started saying that humans came from monkeys who came from, we know that for a fact, they say. But we need more time. We know that for a fact, but we need more time for that single cell to turn into the human. Maybe 100,000 years for that single cell thing to become fully functioning human with a brain that thinks logically, capable of speaking a language. And we cook our food. We create new dishes. I did the Italian beef in the Instapot the other night. Incredible. Music. Literature. I've observed neither one of the dogs have had a creative bone in them together. What about your cows and pigs? Any of them going to write the great American novel? So that's the evidence for the billions and billions of years. We know that we evolved from that thing. You need a lot of time to do that. The tail wagging the dog. God looked around and said, we're going to need some sky now. Need some sky to do what the sky does. The sky is kind of a holding station for water, isn't it? Isn't that what the sky does? Did you know that 70% of the water on Earth is in the oceans? That means that 70% of the water on Earth is salt water. And what can you do with that? You can't drink it. You can't put it on your crops. Fish can swim in it. Evaporation. What a brilliant idea. Make the water rise up, leave the salt behind, and put it up in that holding station. Maybe move those clouds around so they come over Iowa and dump rain on Iowa. Then run off into the oceans, repeat. It's all very sustainable. We're going to need some land. Going someplace with this. It's not random. There's a plan. Now we can grow things in the ground. So how about some plants and how about some seeds to make it very sustainable? Now besides the Earth, the rest of the solar system with the sun at the center, you want a miracle? Look at the sun. The engine that powers evaporation and kind of everything else. The sun is a big ball of fire that puts the Energizer Bunny to shame. Energy? The website is learnastronomyhq.com. Quote, in one second, the sun generates more energy than has been used in all of mankind's history. That's a lot of energy. And it keeps going and going and going. Do you ever worry that the sun might burn up and then what would we do? Neither do I. Almost there. Ready for the animals. Water, air, land, now the animals. And on each of these 6 days, evening and morning, one day, the spoken word of God is the means of creation. And after each of those 6 days, God looked at what he made, and he was pleased with his work. And it's all for you. It's all for you. All this God put here for you, and when it was ready, He put you here, created in His image. And our being creative, and we are creative, is part of that being in the image of God. We have the unique ability to create things, and we do. We create a lot of stuff. I think people think you're either a creative person or you're not, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's not true. Being creative is part of who we are. It's at our very essence to be creative. It doesn't mean that everybody's a good artist or a good problem solver. Creativity is something we're born with, and it can be learned and developed. I remember in the sixth grade, I could not write a sentence to save my life. Sixth grade, Mrs. Fullerton, doing creative writing. Write what you want to write. What do you want me to write? It's your paper. Write whatever you want to write. What do you want me to write? Just tell me what you want me to write. What do you want me to write? Malcolm Gladwell talks about the 10,000 hour rule. I mentioned that last week. He says that if you do something for about 10,000 hours, you get to be pretty good at it. Why is one violin player better than another violin player? It's probably because that person practiced for about, he says, 10,000 hours. He talks about the Beatles, the singing group. They were just another band from Liverpool. Not that good, not that bad. Then he says they went over to Hamburg and played in the clubs over in Hamburg, and they played literally all night. And after a couple years of that, they came back to England. They're pretty good. Creative, yeah. The downside to that creativity is that the natural man, who is creative, uses his brain to create mischief. Sometimes criminals are not very smart. Watching Mariana Van Zeller, she has her series of trafficking on Nat Geo, not wild. Criminals can be very creative in figuring out ways how to manufacture harmful drugs and get them into our country, how to make counterfeit money that passes for the real McCoy, figure out ways to use the phone to swim to mostly the elderly out of their money. Yeah, we're creative. And you can use that for good, or you can use that for evil. It's just the way we are. In the beginning, God. Barashit bara Elohim. There was never a time when God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit did not exist. It's always been there. He's always been there. Where Moses tells us in Genesis 1:26 that God said, note the plural here, let us create man in our image. The us, the plural, are the three persons of the Trinity. And we see them in the first few verses of Genesis. The Father doing the creating. The second Son speaking. That's what the Son does. He speaks, let there be light. The third person, the Spirit of God, hovering over the chaos. And then in the fullness of time, Paul tells us Jesus is born. Begotten of the Father by means of the Holy Spirit, He was God, born of Mary. He was a man. And that man comes to John to be baptized by John. John, you recall, had elevated baptism from pagan baptisms, which meant nothing, from Jewish proselyte baptism, which meant that you Gentiles have to wash off your Gentileness, to something connected to things like confession, repentance, and belief. And John had spoken of the one who would come after him, who would baptize with, quote, the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus created some new things. In particular, He created a couple new things. He took bread and said it was His body. He took wine and said that was His blood. And like on the first day of creation, when that powerful, authoritative Word of God says that, it's true, it becomes that. And He created Christian baptism. Made that water to be something because He says that it's something. Baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and what does it do? That's a lot of things. Been looking at that in adult Bible class this morning. Take out your catechism. Don't take out your catechism. And there's the Luther small catechism in the front and in the back. A bunch of Bible verses that talk about things like baptism, baptizing infants. What does baptism do? Check that out. That's what baptism does, a lot of things. Paul talks about baptism in Romans 6. Read this at Jean's funeral. Read it at every funeral. How in baptism you are connected to the death of Christ. In baptism you are connected to the coming resurrection, your resurrection of Christ. What that means is that in baptism you are connected to the death of Christ. That's where your forgiveness of sins comes from. His death on the cross and the resurrection. That means that you were kind of resurrected once in baptism. You're going to be resurrected again on the last day. That's what that means. Holy baptism. That creates Christians. Jesus created this thing. He's the one who started it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It means something. It means a lot of things. And it means that holy baptism creates Christians. That's what it does. And that's not nothing, and that is something. It says the word, and it is what it is, and that seems easy. So, told the people up in Charlotte, we had a great trip to Hawaii. Flew into Honolulu, then over to the Big Island. And you know, first, I'm a big guy, and I go on the airplane, I kind of go to my happy place. It's not my favorite place in the world to be in an airplane. Then you go from Honolulu to Hilo on the puddle jumper, that's even smaller. And then we get out. It was after dark, and we see palm trees. And we hear the birds chirping, and the thought was, this is like kind of paradise. This is kind of paradise. Our time here on this earth, we go to our happy place. It's kind of like flying on the airplane, just something you have to do. And then, when we get to heaven, it's going to be like paradise. Amen. Peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.